From Directions Magazine, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, November 5th, 2013. This weekly podcast brings you the latest information on geospatial technology and all things location. This is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Huntsville, Alabama.
And this is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
Building information models is the latest term to be elevated to a certain level of importance in geospatial information, urban planning, and architectural design. BIM has nearly reached the status of GIS. Consequently, it's attained a level of confusion among users about its true definition and applications. We'll tackle that and more, but first a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. Make ArcGIS Online the mapping platform for your organization. Sign up for a free 30-day trial today at esri.com/agoleval.
Well, Adina, I've spent the last week immersed in infrastructure and related projects at Bentley Systems Year in Infrastructure Conference, where users were touted and toasted for their incredible engineering projects and architectural designs. It was a truly learning experience for me to see the work that these folks have accomplished using design software for transportation, urban planning, and power generation. But throughout the event, as was the case at Autodesk University last year, and I assume again this year that it will occur in December, are discussions about building information models. When I think of building information models, or BIM, I think of the ability to visualize CAD drawings in 3D, but with the added element of texture and facades in order to put them in some perspective view to simulate what a building would look like in real life. To get further clarification, I did go to Wikipedia. Their definition is, building information modeling is a digital representation of physical and functional characteristics of a facility. So that was nice and simple. I appreciate that. They went on to further define it this way, which I like even more. Traditional building design was largely reliant upon two-dimensional drawings. Building information modeling extends this beyond 3D, augmenting the three primary spatial dimensions, width, height, and depth, with time as the fourth dimension and cost as the fifth dimension. BIM covers more than just geometry. It also covers spatial relationships, light analysis, geographic information, and quantities and properties of buildings' components, such as from manufacturers, unquote. If you look at BIM given all of these definitions, I feel like there's kind of like definition creep, such that we are really talking about 3D for everything. And indeed, one presenter that I saw last week that I listened to said exactly that, except that BIM is being specified as a requirement in order to submit bids now for Army Corps of Engineering contracts, and the OGC is involved in supporting specifications for data interoperability. I guess my first question is, has BIM moved from being just another word for 3D to comprise an information and infrastructure framework from which projects begin and continue to exist through its life cycle? I see like it's got this expanded definition.
The definition is definitely getting broader. And as you went through those definitions from Wikipedia, all I could think of is, well, you know, it's all singing, all dancing, it cures cancer, it does everything.
Right,
and,
yeah.
And that's never healthy for a definition of anything. I think part of what's missing from those definitions and some of the other ones I found was the goal of it. You know, what is it for? What is its use case? And interestingly, when I went digging for definitions, I found one from Autodesk that I quite like. And they're specifically talking about Autodesk BIM, but that's okay. So let me quote that. Autodesk BIM is an intelligent, model-based process that helps owners and service providers achieve business results by enabling more accurate, accessible, and actionable insight throughout project execution and life cycle. And the thing I like best about that definition is the part about owners and service providers achieve business results.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
This is going to help us in that bottom line, or whatever our business results may be, if we want to make the world a better place, or cut costs and in our heating, or cut emissions, or you know, whatever those business goals are. And I think that's the part that sort of escapes a lot of these broader definitions, is that the point of this is to be more successful in your creation of these structures.
I think that's a really good point. And one of the people that I heard, he really put it in the context, was that there is real business value to doing things with a three-dimensional context, such that if I take the time to do it up front and get all of my design elements in 3D space, then the upfront time of constructing a 3D model will pay time dividends in the future. And this was echoed when I interviewed Mike DeLacy from Microdesk. Now, he's an Autodesk partner, and he's got many years of GIS and AEC project work. And he said the result of the preliminary work provides the project manager with information about the design and the implications of for construction once that phase begins. So the bottom line is that BIM is no longer something that projects will leverage today. It's something that they'll do more and more in the future. So the comment about life cycle development is absolutely apt in this case. It's the whole range from beginning to end.
Right, and I think that was part of BIM from the beginning. And I don't know when the term actually came into vogue in the CAD world.
Well, I think in the Wikipedia definition, it came into being at least somewhere in the late 70s.
So it's really old.
Yeah, I think that it's a fairly old terminology.
Yeah, I remember it sort of popping up in the maybe late 90s, early 2000s, from the Autodesks and the Bentleys and the folks who are in the sort of CAD world. And what I want to address, especially since you mentioned Mike DeLacy, who I've known for 1,000 years, is the parallel between the movement from CAD to GIS and the movement from CAD to BIM. And Gene Rowe made a comment on your blog post that I thought was very insightful, and I've heard this before, but he brought it up, this whole idea that BIM is just like GIS, but for buildings. I've always thought of it in that sort of way, except that, as you have suggested, it really hasn't made that leap, in my mind, to having that lauded nest that GIS has.
If I had to say today that is the right parallel, I would say yes. But the way I hear people talking about it is it's this broad, expanded definition to not just include buildings, but to include all sorts of things in the urban environment, streets, street furniture, the entire built environment, such that we're integrating things like sensor networks and indoor positioning. It's growing beyond simply what your definition was, which GIS for buildings. And so it's trying to go beyond, or at least people are trying to put it in the context of including all of these different IT fundamentals. And that's where I think it's getting murky.
And let me just suggest that maybe we're doing that with GIS as well. Don't we also want to plug into all these real-time sensors and all the different kinds of positioning? And isn't there a big push within our world to integrate this sort of design built environment world with the larger geospatial world that we map, and we call it geodesign?
Or to leave the definition of GIS behind altogether and call it something new and expand it, like geodesign, right?
Right. So in a sense, both these GIS and BIM are expanding into larger realms with the goal, I hope, of getting those better decisions made, again, achieving those business results. I mean, there's a goal to this. This isn't just an activity to do just to do it. Which brings me back to the other question, which comes from any type of implementation of these technologies, which is return on investment,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah. So we've had a big push within GIS to try to measure the return on our GIS databases that, just like the BIM databases, you have to do a lot of upfront effort, data collection, correction, management, you know, set out those models. But once you get them in place, you really can see that ROI down the line.
Yeah, and I'll read you a comment from when I was at the Autodesk University conference last year, and I heard a presentation by Steve Hutzel. Now, he's the chief of the geospatial section, U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, Seattle District, and the BIM contract lead on a project. And he says, "We do BIM in just about everything we do. The Corps of Engineers expects you to use BIM, and contractors must submit models barracks, dining facilities in a format requested and be fully operable, compatible, and editable with native BIM tools. Now, whatever your native BIM tools is, whether it's Revit from Autodesk or ProjectWise, I guess, from Bentley, you're being told if you're an Army Corps contractor, you've got to use this stuff. So I don't know if the Corps has done cost models, but imagine they have, such that if you're designing stuff for the Corps, you better have it in a format that we can, that, you know, we can look at, analyze, and make cost effective.
This follows on a big push from the services to do the same kinds of things with GIS. I remember the Tri-Service Center had standards, the name escapes me, of them, that you had to follow for when you did the mapping of the bases, and they had the layers that you defined. And then what happened was those became kind of a default for people outside of the military. They use that because it had all been set up nicely. Again, there's this sort of parallelism between what went on as we move to GIS as we're moving to BIM.
Yeah. Oh, and one other thing I wanted to bring up was I heard Greg Bentley, the CEO of Bentley Systems, and he began his address to the users at this event, and he really wanted to redefine BIM. And I got the feeling that the reason he wanted to do this was either to take it more into the framework or recharacterize it in some way, not even necessarily to put it in Bentley terms, but just to give people a different definition. And he characterized it this way, and he said the B in BIM is for better decisions and for a depth of information modeling, and the IM for him stood for information mobility. So he did try to put a bit of a spin on cost effectiveness. You want to make a better decision if you put this into a BIM structure. It is, and again, this was somewhat new in the term that he used, information mobility, because I think what Bentley sees is all of this is moving to the field very quickly. So all of your tools, not just being done in a design framework in an office environment, you're taking it to the field where you're looking at some of these components and trying to make certain that things are being architected correctly in the field.
And that whole mobile push, and part of that, if I read it correctly, also had to do with collaboration.
Correct.
People in different places, whether they're in the field or scattered around the world. Doesn't that sound incredibly like what we're doing in GIS?
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know if we're dovetailing or colliding, but BIM and GIS are almost, if they're not along parallel tracks, they're along tracks that are almost coming together. Well, that's all the time we have for today.
Yes, sir, I would like you to know that the ArcGIS Marketplace offers apps and data from qualified providers that can be used with your ArcGIS Online subscription. The geospatial apps and data can easily be shared with ArcGIS Online groups and users within your organization. Visit marketplace.arcgis.com for more information.
If you'd like to comment about today's podcast, you can write to us at editors@directionsmag.com, send us a tweet @directionsmag, or leave a comment where this podcast is posted. And don't forget that you can subscribe to Directions on the News from iTunes. Thanks for joining us today, and be sure to tell a friend.